It's a big interstate hour coming your way between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, but it's now time for the Sydney preview there, of course, highlighted by the Golden Rose. Let's welcome in the team, and David Gately joins us once again. G'day, Gator. What a day of racing up there in Sydney, and it's great to be back at Rose Hill.
Nothing more to add to all of that, absolutely.
And Lizzie Gels, welcome back. I think you're heading back to the track. You're out of isolation. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels very good, Gareth. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm looking forward to not only being able to get out to the track, but the fact that we're back at Rose Hill Gardens and we haven't been there since towards the end of June. We should be on a perfect deck, rails in the true position. It's a good fall. There hasn't been any rain. It's been really mild conditions in Sydney over the last week, so they've had to put about 8 mils of irrigation over the last 7 days. So it should just pay absolutely perfectly, and it's, as you said, a fantastic day of racing up here.
And Tommy Berry joins us once again. He's been brilliant for us while he's been suspended here on RSN 927. Good morning to you, Tommy, and what a race that Golden Rose promises to be.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant race. Outside of the favourite Enemo, I think it's a wide open market, and it's nice to see a filly like Jamara in the field as well, which adds a bit more interest. But I'm really excited to see a few of them go around.
Let's have a look at this first race as we preview this 10-race program. It's a benchmark 88 over the 1,900 metres. Dick Whittington's a scratching, which is the 6. You've got Achiever at $7. Casino Monodial at $7.50. Our Intrigue, the favourite, at $3.80. Crystal Pegasus at $4.40. And Yee Yee also at around $3.80. In fact, it's now the equal favourite here in the first race, Gator.
Yeah, Crystal Pegasus for me, terrific win 2 runs ago, despite being 8 weeks between runs. And last time, they just made a mid-race move off a slow speed, pulled up with a slow recovery. So I think that's a figure run, expecting him to hit back. I think Achiever's the danger. Late splits certainly sound first up, and then jumped in trip second up, battled well. Did win a 78 race when third up last prep, and then third in a pack of plates, so it's easy to like. I think he is very genuine. Just needs it wetter is all to be a key winning hope, I think. Our Intrigue, same boat. 5-1 from 8-3.
What are you thinking here, Lizzie, in this first race? You've seen these horses a little bit this preparation.
I think it's a very open race. I think Gator's mentioned all the horses that have chances along with Bazooka as well. So I think it's extremely open. I suppose the key to the race is Waller's horses. He's got 3 of the main chances in it. You've got Casino Mondial, who's going to be up on speed, and he's racing so consistently. And he's from the Christian Buchanan stable, who's also... Her horses are just absolutely flying at the moment. So I love to follow stables, especially when the horses are in good order. So he's in the mix as well. Tommy, I suppose, as Gator mentioned, Achiever's really, he's very consistent, but he's yet to win on a good deck, and that's probably his downfall today.
Yeah, no, definitely. He's a horse that he's got a high cruising speed, but he hasn't got a great turn of foot. And as we know on wet tracks, especially when you get the heavy ground, it takes that brilliance and that sprint away from some of the horses that have got a turn of foot, and that obviously suits him quite well. So back on good tracks where horses like a Crystal Pegasus, who I think is the danger in the race, and they've got a good turn of foot, he's just going to have to sustain that speed. So if he can get a bit of a cheap sectionals mid-race and Nash can get going on him early, I think that's going to be his best chance.
Race number 2 is the Highway, Class 2 over the 1,500 metres. Scratch the 5, 6... 12, 14, 18 and 20. We have Yulong Base at $7, Tap and Run at $9.50. So Say You for the Robertson Camps, the favourite at $4.40. Chase My Crown at $9, Without Shame at $9.50. And then Kermartin at $7, the other galloper under double figures here, Gator.
Look, I'm with Kermartin. I wish he'd draw a little bit better, but like Rachel King taking over, first up run and finale was exceptional. Really, I mean, she ran home 11.07. It was the clear fastest of any horse all day. So with a touch of luck, I think she can run well, and she's backable, as you'd probably want in these sort of races. So You Say, solid third, Kemba last time. That race rated well also. Beat the fourth horse clearly and was 5 weeks between runs. Lord Decimino gets the extra 100 metres, tick, and Tap and Run chased well last time in a leader's sort of race. So 15, 4, 8 and 3.
Jot those numbers down, Lizzie, because he is the highway specialist these days, Gator.
He absolutely is. I've definitely jotted those numbers down. I'll work around them today. And one horse I've got in my notes, Yulong Base. I thought he's just needed a couple of runs this campaign and got the blinkers on. He's doing well. If he parades nicely today, I think he's going to run a lot better than he has done previously in his last couple of runs.
Tommy, would you like to take any of these rides on the Country Gallopers in the second?
Oh, usually I'd be on one of Terry Robinson, so I'll go with one of his, but I think it's a very open race, very tricky race to read, but I'll stick with Lizzie and Gator's pick.
All right, Midway Handicap, benchmark 72 over the 1,300 metres, scratched the 10, 11 and 13. Cuban Royale, Luke Price gave him a really good push this morning at $6. Ruby Tuesday at $7.50. Barossa Rosa at $8. Dalalad at $8. Calgary Queens, the favourite here, Gator, at $3.70 here for the Midway.
Yeah, look, I thought Cuban Royale, just coming back a few notches here from a pretty deep 78 race. He wasn't far away, despite racing closer to the slower inside section of the track by the end of the day there. He's been able to posse up sort of 5th, 6th in races when he jumps cleanly. I think out to 1,300, he gives himself that opportunity to do that. And I just thought those early tab prices were wrong. I think he was around double figures early doors there. Barossa Rossa, solid return in one of these at Kembla. Just may have peaked late there. Fitter, 1,300. Might lead this time. Calgary Queen, certainly in the game, on speed. And Budweiser's come up a big price. It's perhaps over the odds. 1579.
What are you doing here? What are you thinking in the Midway with these horses from a yards perspective, Lizzie?
Yeah, Cuban Royale is one that I've mentioned a few times on this show. They've kept him to the shorter trips to up to about 1300. He's been really effective and his whole physique has changed. He used to lighten off in a preparation and now he's really holding condition. The last time I saw him was when he raced on the 4th of September and I actually had him on top on that occasion. So he does look really well placed in this race. And again, we talk about stables that are in form and that's exactly what Robert and Luke Price's horses are in at the moment. So he's a definite winning chance. I suppose when you're looking at this race, you've got a horse like Ruby Tuesday and she's the one that is the fly in the ointment. She sometimes jumps, she sometimes doesn't. When you approach a race like this, Tommy, with a horse like her, how do you sort of approach it knowing that she could jump and she couldn't and you have to have two different plans?
Yeah, you just really, horses like her, you've got to ride with an open mind. I think if you go out there with a set plan, you're going to be in two minds and you usually choose the wrong option where if she jumps, you can roll forward. If she does miss it, and she's a hard one too because when she does miss it, she can get over races and go quite keen. So you've got to make sure that if she comes out a little bit slow, you don't want to give her a squeeze to fire her up. So she's a very difficult mare on a day, but I think she's the horse with the most ability in the race, but she's just got to get it right.
Race number four, Group 3 over the 2,400 metres. She can scratch the 6, no compromise, and Pesto the 9 comes out. Tucumochi's at $7.50, Otente at $4.40, Fun Fact at $4.60, Criminal Code at $4.60, and then Sound of Cannons at $9. So basically, Gator, we've got three equal favourites here.
Notice that with the scratching of No Compromise. It's really levelled the race out, hasn't it? Fun fact, well, he worked mid-race last time in the Kingston Town. I thought he actually held on okay, given that. He was third up. He won a St. Ledger. He beat She's Ideal the last time he was at a staying trip. So I thought he could run well. And Tonte jumped to 2,000 in that Kingston Town. He battled well when he was collared by She's Ideal. So that certainly ties in. Just has to run the trip. I mean, he did fold up pretty badly in a Geelong Cup. He's one go this distance range, but he was at the end of a prep. I'm not convinced that he doesn't stay off that. Criminal Code, he's certainly going really well, stays down in the weights. And Sound of Cannons, 3-2-7-11.
So 3-2-7-11 for Gator. It was an interesting chat, Lizzie, with Richard Friedman yesterday talking about Young Rascal, who hasn't really fired since his first couple of starts in Australia, but he mentioned that this horse had been struggling with ulcers. They identified that problem and he hit the line a little better there last start. But from a yards perspective, trying to read these horses' minds and working out that these horses have problems like that, I guess that would be one of the most challenging parts of your job. If you could ask every trainer, it might help as well.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, sometimes horses show it on the outside when they're not doing well in between runs and you can identify them, and I'm sure when trainers have them at home, you can tell why they're not eating and, you know, just generally not being as well as they probably have. And if you go investigating for things that you can't see them evidently on the outside, if you go investigating for them, you can usually find something. And that's a good thing, that you can find a problem, because then you can solve them and you know why they're not going well. When you can't find a problem,
yes,
that is an immediate problem. But these stayers, they are ones that take it in turns. We say this every week. They take it in turns to win. What's really interesting about this race, though, is you've got Taikamochi, Entente, Fun Fact, and Sky Max all coming through their preparations and just improving fitness-wise. They have to be really, really fit and forward. So the yard for this race is very important, and that's where I'm sort of be making my decision. But you can understand why there's three top favourites at this stage.
If you had to have a ride here, Tommy, which one would you like to jump aboard?
I think on Tont, it's a horse got a bit of class on its side, and obviously coming through that She's Ideal Montefilia form, I think it stacks up really well here. But there is a chance here that there's going to be a lot of pressure in the race. You're talking about She, Fun Fact. And there was one other I thought is a Sky Max as well. So if the race is set up for a back marker, then obviously Criminal Code with 53 kilos on his back will be hitting the line nice and strong, mate.
Race 5's a beauty. It's probably better than a listed race, the Heritage Stakes, over the 1,100 metres for the three-year-olds. Enterprise Pommy is the scratching, the 10, a Sort of State. This very impressive New Zealander first up today's at $6.50. Home Affairs at $5. Pulali is at $2.80. King of Sparta at $7.50. And then Tristate at $9.50. And a very fine red down the bottom there at $12, Gator. But this is a beauty.
Yeah, it is that. It's a really good test for Sort of State. I remember last season being most intrigued in him leading into a slipper. They didn't make the trip for a wet track, and probably he was coming to the end of that campaign as well. He runs the times of a very good horse at home in New Zealand, so he must be fast then. He trialled quite well. It wasn't great, but he was quite good in the lost and running heat, but he didn't have his blinkers on, and he was only a couple of days off the plane. Look, he's got his big weight, doesn't he? And he draws awkwardly, but I just can't believe they went up $10 about him, and I am happy to see if he's as good as we think he is. Palau put the race away really quickly on dry ground in the Rosebud. He ran sizzling time in the Congo, just made Animo work to beat him, so it's easy to like that horse. Home Affairs, only been on a dry ground once. He ran third to Natodman, to Animo and Profiteer in very fast time. He looked great in his trial. And King of Sparta had the weights against him and, you know, it was 15 wide at Randwick. It's going to hurt you. So here's the other key hope. Yeah, it is a good race. I'm going to go with one and fingers crossed, 3, 2, 4.
I guess, Lizzie, you'd be one of the most interesting horses to have a look at today, Sort of State. We had a chat to Jamie Richards this morning. He's had his setbacks, but they want to get to the Coolmore, so they had to start somewhere. I think he's just looking forward to seeing how good he is, and when he measures up to horses like Pelale and Home Affairs, who have showed a lot of promise already.
Yeah, exactly. You need a measuring stick outside of what he's been racing, because he's been beating everything back home so convincingly, and this is obviously an acid test for him today. Every time you see one of Jamie Richards' horses step out, they always are turned out in their best possible condition. They always seem to, he picks the right horses to come over. He's been doing it time and time again. So I expect him to run as well as Gator mentioned, but really looking forward to assessing him and seeing how he presents. I suppose the horse that I'm most interested to see if he can take that next step is a horse like King of Sparta. He has got the most amazing turn of foot when everything goes his way, and Hugh Bowman's got a bit of a task from 11. But if there's a bit of pressure on, which it looks as though there could be, he's going to get a lovely run in behind them. And as I said, he's just got a tremendous turn of foot when everything is laid out perfectly for him.
And this is a good race, Tommy. You've ridden King of Sparta before. How do you think it'll play out? It's a tactical battle over the 1,100 metres with a few of these favourites drawn wide.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch this race, actually, because the 1,100 metre start at Rose Hill is probably one of the trickiest starts you ride at, because you got a short enough run, but then as soon as you hit that first corner, you turn the whole way to your straighten. So there's always a little bit of pressure to find a good spot, and then if you don't find a good spot and you're caught three wide, especially three wide without cover, it's very, very hard to win from that point. So that's why it always sort of plays the horses on the speed closer to the rail over the 1,100 there. And so this is why it's going to be an exciting race, because you've got the four chances in the race all drawn wide. So I think whoever gets the best ride in the race, whether it's Kieran, Huey, Nash, or James, I think they'll get the result. But with the speed on in the race, I know I don't really like backmarkers over the 1,100 at Rose Hill, but King of Sparta, as Lizzie said, he's got one of the best turn of foots in racing, and if he gets his speed on that where it looks like it and he can follow a horse up like Paul Ailey or Home Affairs, he might get the last shot of them late.
Race 6 is the Shannon Stakes, Group 2 over the 1,500 metres. Scratchings are clear. Imaging at $3.40. Best of Days at $10. Archer Demas at $9.50. Chats a $12 chance. Discharged at $19, I should say $9. And Love Tap is the favourite there at $3.40, Gator.
Yeah, look, I expected a little bit more from him first up, Love Tap. He was back and wide, I was a touch disappointed, hence I deserted him at Kembla, and it seemed a mistake, given he went up and chased a hot speed and then raced away. Ran really good time. He drops to 53 here. He'll measure up, I think. Imaging, he badly needs a win, but he was luckless in the Wink Stakes. He closed off well, chasing Maunga. But he needs a win. Academus covered ground in the Memsie. The run was better than it looks. And Reloaded, some hope. But 10, Love Tap from 1-3-5.
What did you make of Love Tap first up? Were you there to see Love Tap in the yard, Lizzie?
Yeah, I was. Yep. I thought he presented quite nicely first up. I thought that he looked to have done quite a bit of work and he was nice and forward in condition. But I suppose I definitely was the same as Gator. I was disappointed with how he performed first up. He had had a long time off the scene, but I just expected a little bit more from him. But yes, he proved us all wrong and won really impressively at Kembla Grange last start. And I think that he's, as Gates said, really well placed in a race like this. And if he replicates his run from last start, he's going to be right in the finish, along with Imaging, who, as Gator said, he's busting to win a race. He needs to win a race, but he's sort of somewhat consistent in a lot tougher grade than this.
Tommy, with a horse like Imaging that, as Lizzie and Gator have pointed out, he does need to win a race. Can it be a case where horses just forget how to win? Or is that a little unfair on Imaging?
Look, I think it's unfair in a way that he finds a lot of bad luck, but then some horses seems to be the story of their life. And this bloke's sort of found himself in that boat a little bit. But, they do lose a bit of confidence and they forget how to win sometimes. But when they do get a win, they usually can put a couple on the board. And Chris is very good at doing that with his horses. And I think Imaging, he comes out of the best form races in Australia, beyond Insensitized, Mwanga, and very elegant at his last couple of starts. And he's been carrying 59 for his last couple, so it's going to be nothing new for him. And he's got James McDonald aboard. So one's a bit tricky for him. Every time he's drawn one or close to the rail, he seems to find that trouble. So James is going to have to, weave some magic and get him out into the clear. But I think if he does, he's the best horse in the race by a long way.
Race 7, the Golden Pennant, Group 2 over the 1,400 metres for the mares. And this is a terrific race. You can scratch the 7, All Saints Eve, and the 8, All Hallows Eve, along with the 11, Ruby Tuesday. Forbidden Love at $9.50. On Trevier, she's the favourite. She was sensational first up at Kembla Grange at $2.30. And Jamie Richards did give her a big tick of approval this morning. Nimalee at $7.50. Fatuces at $6. And then Ice Bath Gator at $10. And Fanchalik's had support from that inside gate at $6.50.
Yeah, look, Entrevere looks the most likely winner. I mean, what a terrific return win. The fast pace suited her because she's a really good athlete. But she hit the front at around the 200-metre mark. Then she was as strong as anything to the line. So Fatusa, who was coming off a big win, was ridden cold to make one run at her. She did just that. But Entrevere sat closer to a strong speed and was still... They ran actually equal, quickest last 200 of the race. So she held her quite convincingly. I think she'll slot in second or third here from the gate and just be too good again. Nimalee took on the boys fresh in a fast run race, ended up a mile back. She was race fastest home herself. Forbidden Love, desperate for 1,400. And there's Fatus, 2-4-1-5.
2-4-1-5 there for Gator. On Treviere, I guess this is the first time you've seen her this preparation, Lizzie, but before that, what impresses you about her?
Very mature mare. She's always, I've only seen her once before when she ran in the Sapphire, and she's just very mature. She seems as though she's got a lovely scopy appearance, quite a nice length about her. And when I say mature, she's got good bone on her, really nice deep girth, and she seems as though she's just one that is being bought over at the right time. The fact that she had that last run at the end of her preparation just to get her ready for another trip over here in the spring, I think, has been the making of her, and I thought she won very impressively. But it's not a walk in the park for her. This is a really good race. There's many of these fillies and mares who are going absolutely fantastically. You've got a horse like Nimalee, who she invariably gets better throughout her preparation. Fatouf, you can never underestimate her. She's also, you know, come back a lot stronger this time around. And obviously Ice Bath, she takes a lot longer to get fitter. She's quite a burly type, and she takes a bit of improvement each and every run, every preparation. So I don't think it's a complete walk in the park. There is some pretty talented mares in this, but she does look pretty special, the two on Tribier.
Who would you like to ride here, Tommy?
I'm keen on Forbidden Love here, and I've obviously had a great association with her in the past. But she's drawn wide of the first two starts back and been ridden quiet. And first up, she ran out of her skin, and she looked like she was a little bit flat second up. She was carrying a bit of condition going into her first run. It'd taken her a little bit to get fit through her trial, so it would have knocked her around a little bit, that first up run. And obviously, as Gator mentioned, up to the 1400 is going to suit her, and she'll be ridden a lot closer, I think, today from a good alley with a race with very little pressure above Angelic. So, and Trevia had a great run the other day. Good ride by James, but there was good speed in the race, and it put the field up, and he was able to get a nice card in behind it. But with little speed in this race, I think you'll find them that they're going to be pretty compact, and it's James going to have a job on his hands to try and get her into a position where she can get a bit of cover, and you know, he might even press forward himself. But I just think that's perfect for Forbidden Love, third up, 1400. She's a Group 1 winning mare, and $8 is ridiculous for her.
Geez, that is a good push from Tommy Berry there. Forbidden Love, you've talked me into it, Tommy. Let's have a look at the Golden Rose, race number 8 on the program. Group 1 level, scratchings are clear. From a jockey's perspective here, Tommy, we've had James Cummings give this colt a wonderful push this morning. All of the experts are tipping him as a good thing today. How do you beat him if you're taking him on?
Well, he's very hard to beat because I think he was the one going into this race with the most improvement. Obviously, he had a setback going into his first up run, 1740 trial. So he was there to be beaten first up, and he was too good. So, he's drawn a little bit awkward there for James, but I think he'll find a nice spot around midfield. To beat him, try and be in front of him, maybe. I'm not sure. I just think he'll win today. I think it's simple as that. I think Remark's a good improver as well. He's quite a big, burly horse. He takes a few runs to get fit, so I think he'll be spot on as well. And obviously, I've got to give Jamara a bit of a chance. Hopefully, sitting in behind the speed, she'll have the last crack at him. She might even find the back of Animo or a mark from where she's drawn.
Bit of a work in progress still. He's not quite as tractable and as maybe as professional, and he keeps learning each and every start. The winker offside for the first time. What's the thinking behind that?
Sorry, I missed the start of that. Sorry.
Remark, he's sort of still a work in progress, isn't he? He's not really sort of the furnished article as far as mentally. He seems to always do a few things wrong, and they popped the winker offside on for the first time. What do you think with that gear change going forward?
Yeah, I think he's, as you said, he's a little bit raw. He's a big, burly horse, and at the moment he's doing little things wrong, and I think that's also due to drawing wide, trying to put him into a spot. But drawing 5 today, I think he's going to be able to find him. You can put him where he wants to be instead of trying to ask him to be forward or back from a wide alley. And I think that's just to help him straighten him up a little bit. He can get a little bit wayward sometimes in the straight. And he did want to get in a little bit with Hugh Bowman last start at Kembla, but that might have even been fitness, you know, him running out of fitness a little bit there. But I just think it sets up perfectly for him today, where Hughie can just put Remark where Remark wants to be, which I think will probably be about 3 pairs back. And with that offside winker, it'd probably just straighten him up a little bit, make him focus there at Rose Hill.
Gator, you were keen on Animo on Thursday, but you also gave a really good push for the Waterhouse and Bot Runner and in the Congo.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there wasn't much between them last time. I think Tommy summed it up best in that Animo had the setback. He was only first up. He gave them a weight as well. You know, and he still beat them. So, logically, he's the one you'd think fitter getting to 1,400 at set weight is the one they have to beat. He's only been to 1,400 metre once. He looked outstanding, didn't he, winning the sires. But in the Congo, he was terrific in that run to the Roses. He led at a strong speed. He had a pest outside him. In staying side, he shook him off. He was only collared late. It was a good run. Any leader bias would help him. Now, Remark, he's the one I was with in the run to the Roses, and I wasn't alone. He was heavily backed. I thought we were on the right tram. Now, he was alongside Animo early in that race. And then what they did, because he was wide, they sort of gave up some ground to get some cover, and that ground he gave up was about 2 lengths. He was beaten about that same margin, and he was 5 weeks between runs, so you can easily make a case there. And Artorias, yeah, I reckon that that might have just topped him off there at Flemington. I think he's the other key hope. What a race, 1.572.
What are you looking forward to most about the Golden Rose, Lizzie?
See which horse stands out in the yard.
Yes.
You could have any one of these horses on form, but I really want to see who stands out. And there will be one. There'll be something that will stand out head and heels above the rest. And I'm sort of going in with a really fresh focus because I haven't seen a lot of these horses for their last run. So this is their grand final today, and I've got no preconceived ideas of where they are in, you know, going to turn up in their preparation. So I just love the way the Hawks is trained. I think that third up into the preparation, they're changing the gear with him. He's going to be in front of Animo in the run, and this might prove the winning move, and we've seen that last year. So I think that he's a horse that, you know, you either take the shorts of Animo, who looks as though he's going to have this race at his peril, or you take, you know, the much juicier odds at Remark, and knowing that he's a very talented horse and he's trained by people who can hit the target at the right time.
Let's have a look at the Gloaming Stakes. This is for the three-year-olds as well over the 1,800 metres. Scratch the 13 and 16 and Gate Profondo that made a statement on debuts. The $4.60 equal favourite with Head of State.
Yeah, he covered ground. He knuckled down well to score on debut. It was a fast time, set up by a fast speed though. You have to factor that in. He beat home a horse called Stray, about 2 lengths. Now, Stray didn't have much luck there. That three-year-old went to the Dulcify and beaten 3 lengths. So you can certainly tie the form in. 1,400 to 1,800, not easy, is it, at start number two? But, look, he's in the game. I'm going to tip French Emperor, who looked pretty raw. He didn't like racing tight at all on debut. He went over the line nicely in the Profondo race. Then he went to Goulburn and ran about like a drunken sailor. He produced a really strong last 200. Now, the blinker's on here. So I think that might be the key. So a bit of guesswork involved. But he might be the one that finds a couple of lengths with the blinkers on. Allegron and Aaron Kerr were both good in the Dulcify. Aaron Kerr race fastest time. Profondo, Head of State, even race, 9.436.
9.436 for Gator. And as Gator pointed out that there, Lizzie, it is an even race. And I guess the yard will be very important here.
Yeah, Profondo is a beauty. I had a look at him on the Kensington track when he won. And I suppose that long gap in between runs and the fact that he's stepping, you know, up to 1,800 for his second career run and the second time in his preparation, I think it's probably a little bit of a question mark, but he looks to have had plenty of work pumped into him. He's very naturally fit. He's a gorgeous looking type, obviously, with his price tag of 1.8 million at the Magic Millions. You would expect him to have plenty of talent, and I think that this is a really nice race for him. So, drawn well, he should run up to expectations. I also agree French Emperor is the improver. He obviously can't do what he did last start, but he does look as though he's a gradual improver in this race. But really, really interested to see how they parade. But Profondo is a really nice type, and looking forward to seeing how he steps out again.
Who would you like to ride here, Tommy?
I like Bernard here. If you really look into it, it's Ben O'Shea sending a horse down an hour and then bringing it into a race of this calibre. It shows what he thinks of its ability, and he's found Hugh Bowman to ride it. So there's two massive ticks there for me. And I've seen him at Randwick, and he's a lovely type. I think Lizzie will give him a good pick in the yard. He's a beautiful horse. He carries himself really well. 11's a bit of a tricky alley, but I think he'll be hitting the line nice and strong late. And I think just thinking with the favourite Profondo, he looked very keen off a good speed the other day. So no, I think he's a massive risk stepping up to this trip. If there's not speed in the race, which there doesn't look to be a lot of it, I think he could get very keen, and that might be a bit costly late. So he's obviously a lightly racehorse, still learning his craft, and I think his immaturity, even though he's a beautiful horse, it's one of the best types you'd lay your eyes on. His immaturity might get him beat today.
All right then, so a good push for Benno around the $10 quote. Race 10 over the 1,400 metres. You can scratch the 11 and 12. And Ellsberg at $3.80 is the favourite from Kiku at $4.40 here, Gator.
Yeah, look, Ellsberg certainly trialled quite well, you know, without raving. It was a good, some nice work. He was ridden, but he won it well. He's unbeaten first up. The last time he was first up, he thrashed a horse called Private Eye by some 3 lengths. I think they cross over from the gate and a couple of on-speed runners scratched. Big help. Bullfinch returned at Gelded at Randwick. We had 60 kilos and a mile back. He ran home 11.20, was the day's fastest. He's unbeaten second up. I think he's the wrong price. Grace and Harmony's trialled well. Kiku, not so much, but is talented. 2-8, 10-5.
2-8, 10-5 for Gator. And the last, Lizzie, what are you thinking here in the final event?
I wanted to ask Tommy about Kiku, who he knows really, really well, and what he thought of her first up into the campaign. Obviously, you haven't been on her back due to the fact that you can't get out to Rose Hill and trial these horses, but she was a bit of a revelation last preparation. What do you think of her going into her first up run?
Yeah, I think she should be a good chance. She obviously performs very well fresh, and as you said, she just kept improving every time she stepped out last prep. And her winning the Carbine, it was a good, tough effort after racing wide most of the way. So I think she'd be a big yard watch because I'm pretty sure first up last prep, I can't remember, Lizzie, but she was a little bit rough in the coat, wasn't she? And she sort of improved a lot after that.
She did, yes. She's one that's been improved not only coat-wise but also physically throughout a preparation, which is really interesting when you see these horses sort of building up and get better and better throughout a prep. So I'm wondering if that's sort of the thinking behind her today, but I think she's going to run really well. I still think that she's a good chance in this race, just as I've watched her really evolve last preparation. I'm expecting her to be a lot stronger this time around. So I think she's got a terrific chance, along with Ellsberg, who looks as though he's going to be right in the finish in a race like this.
Tommy, sensational as always, mate. I guess just reading between the lines, if you could talk to Mark Van Gestel and he could give you a day off, or you could go back early from your suspension, Forbidden Love would be the horse that you'd be really looking forward to riding this afternoon.
Yeah, I think she's a forgotten horse in the race. Obviously, a lot of the focus is on the favourite and through the air, but no, there's a bit of a sense of timing around her, and she looks really good in the mornings. I've done a couple of gallops on her, and I think I'd be disappointed if she doesn't figure in the finish.
You're a star, Tommy. Enjoy your day, mate.
Appreciate it, guys. Happy funding. Take care.
There's Tommy Berry. Lizzie, welcome back to the races. Well, enjoy your day, and we look forward to watching you on Channel 7 and also on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, have a great day, and hope everyone backs lots of winners.
There's Lizzie Jellison. Gayhow, I need your best bet in a quaddie, please. And then, of course, your best in Adelaide, because there's nothing that you can't do.
Well, a pretty bold statement. Now, yes. Our best at Sunny Rose Hill is race 7, number 2, on Trevier, as our best. Now, quaddie-wise, we're going 2 in the first leg. That's on Trevier. We're going to take a 1 out. So race 7, number 2.
Tommy didn't talk you into putting in Forbidden Love, Gator.
I'm a bit of a fan, Forbidden Love, but I'm just not sure how she turns the tables on a trivia. I mean, she just absolutely touched her up last time. But as I say, I'm a bit of a fan. I'm just thinking one more run for her and a race without Entrevere in it. So second leg, Animo in the Congo, Remark and Notorious. We'll take them all, 1, 5, 7, and 2. The Gloaming, so 9, French Emperor, 4, Allegron, 3, Aaron Kerr, 6, Profondo, and 2, Head of State. So I think it's a tough race. So 9, 4, 3, 6, and 2. Coming home with 2 Ellsberg. Certainly 8 Bullfinch, I think, is the value. And 10 Grace and Harmony. I better throw in Kiku as well. So 2, 8, 10, and 5. Where are we? In the City of Churches. Mm-hmm. Our best. I'll give you our value. Race 7, number 3, Mona Dream, was our value. And our best was race 4, number 3, I think. Slip into this.
Yes.
Something like that. Race 4,
number 3. God. Hey, Gator, what about your best bet at the footy today as well tonight? Who are you tipping?
Look, I don't have a passionate interest in it, but I think the Neil Danaher story will make me barrack for Melbourne.
Right.
But I'll give you the Norm Smith medalist.
Yes, that would be much appreciated. Yeah. Clayton Oliver.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a star. Luke Beveridge, he was a two-time champion amateur coach, and then you followed him after. I know that you've knocked back the Carlton job, the Collingwood job, to stick with this here us at RSN 927, so we do appreciate it, Gator.
Yeah, I couldn't handle the pay cut. Yeah, thanks, man. Good work.
There we go. There's David Gately.